And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Colossians. To the book of Joshua, if you would, in chapter 4. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word. Thank you for thy grace. So here we are, and we just want to get a better handle, a better understanding of your person, how you work, and how you live, how you have to how you would have us to exercise our relationship to you in the outworking of your life. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise of Joshua, remember, Israel failed to believe in the wilderness. They spent 38 years in the wilderness, and God waited till those that didn't believe that should have gone into the land 38 years earlier. God waited all that time till they died. Now, in the process, so God sanctifies and set apart as they come to the Jordan, as we share together. And they came, and God is, it's a very special time, and they're going to go and cross the Jordan River. And just like they crossed the Red Sea, and the Red Sea and John, Exodus 14, that God sent them forward across the Red Sea, and God is going to send them across the Jordan River. But this time it's different, because they are going and they've been 40 years waiting, getting ready to understand you cannot proceed successfully forward in the process of time without God's grace and help. So you needed to have God up front. Therefore the ark goes out in front in the middle of the Jordan. And why the ark? Well, you remember the Israel in 40 years, they lived, and three tribes in each side, and they surrounded the ark. That's what they did. And every day, the priest in the middle, the ark, had the tabernacle, and in the tabernacle was the ark. And it was a very, very special place, a very, very sacred place. And the average Israelite living in a tent way out there, quite a distance from the tabernacle, I would assume, in the process and in all of that. And what they would they know that's a very special place? Because they would all be able to see the cloud by day and the fire by night, no matter where you were. All you had to do is look up, and out of the tabernacle, over where the Shekinah glory, over the ark, God gave evidence of his presence. So that what was so important about his presence, the ark represented God's holy, righteous person and his merciful grace. God, like we shared this morning a little bit, he's the only God and the only Savior. And he made it very clear day after day. So when they cross the Jordan, here's the ark in the middle of them, looking right in the middle of the Jordan, so that they're able to see. That was very important to understand why they're going to cross on dry, firm, dry land. Because God is going to stop the Jordan River, 25 miles up, so way up there by Adam, stop the river, and the river is just going to stop. And as far as they're concerned, crossing the Jordan, there is no river. And it's so dry, you'd say it's always been dry. They're going to cross the Jordan on firm, solid, dry ground. And they need to know that God got them across the Jordan at flood time so as to what? Understand the way they're able to go forward in the midst of unreasonable and unprofitable places you can't go forward. There's no way to proceed. God's going to make the impossible possible in a very profound, wonderful way. God's going to give his wonderful person to them. And the ark is there. And we share together in the process the stones and the 12 stones that here you are in Joshua chapter 4 and in chapter 4 and verse 3. And the command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place, Gilgal, where you shall lodge this night. And, sliding over to verse 9, they're going to go and then take Joshua, set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in place where the feet of the priest, which bear the ark of the covenant, stood. And they are there unto this day. So God's going to take 12 stones out where the ark was, as it were, and God's going to put 12 stones back in there so that no matter how you want to look at it, you can't see the stones at the bottom of the river, but you're going to see the stones in Gilgal. When you see the stones in Gilgal, chapter 4 and in verse 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their father in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Verse 7, then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And when again, after you get both of them in order and the rib is back where it is should be, again, here's the 12 stones in Gilgal. And verse 20, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, which Joshua did pitch in Gilgal, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, that Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. And that's, everyone knows it, the Philistines, Jebusites, the Egyptians, everyone knows. Verse 23, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you, until you were passed over on the Lord, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before you until you were gone over. So that's how you got to from Egypt all the way into the land. God did it. Verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know that, no, the hand of the Lord, that it is a mighty, that it is mighty, and that you might fear the Lord your God forever. The people may not, but the people that know your God, he's something else, God is something else, and the Israelites should have a healthy, holy, happy fear, respect, reverence for God, who is their God in a most wonderful way. So in order to go and possess and to take the lot and take the land and their lot, they have to go across the Jordan, which they did, and they have to understand the only way they're going to have super duper success is by God's grace in God's wonderful way. And they're going to have to know that God is going to do it very special. But it isn't going to be like Egypt. Nope, Egypt, all you had is your gods. It isn't going to be like the wilderness, because you had God, plus just wandering around, and you didn't need to worry for 38 years. You didn't need to worry about anything. God just did everything, and you just did what you did. But now, it's not going to be like that. Over to chapter 5. So when you cross the Jordan, and what happened? Remember, we didn't do these, but just quickly, to catch what? In chapter 5, verse 10. They had circumcision to catch up because the people weren't circumcised, and they had to get everyone on the same page, the men. Verse 10, chapter 5. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, at even in the plains of Jericho. And as they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow, after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the same day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. In other words, the manna is all finished. It's all done. What was the purpose of the manna? What was the purpose of that journey, 40 years in the wilderness? Over to Deuteronomy and chapter 8. And remind yourself. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God reminding them before they cross the Jordan, Moses before God takes him home, Deuteronomy and chapter 8, picking up, if I may, verse 2 for time. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Where did this God just brought it out of heaven? Neither did thy fathers know that he might, what was the whole point? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob never had manna. What was the whole point? That man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And that's what they're going to understand. You're going to have to go by God's word, and that's what you're going to pay attention to. And here's the priest, remember? The priest, what did they know for 40 years? The priest always represented every tribe and every person in every tribe 24 hours a day, as it were, the priest in the tabernacle represented them, so that every single person in Israel, no matter what tribe, they were, no matter where they were located, were represented. And how did they we did that last time. The priest in his dress had to be dressed in his shoulders, the ephod, and the shoulder pads, the onyx stone, and the stones had six on each stone, each engraved on each side, with the six tribes and the six tribes. All 12 tribes were represented on the shoulders to carry the load, to carry them forward. And not only were they, God's going to carry them, each one of them, but in the breastplate, and here's all the four rows of three stones, and each stone representing the 12 tribes, and the priest is going to carry them on his heart. So the priest, when he comes in the tabernacle, comes in the ark, he's coming and bringing what? Every single man, woman, boy, or girl in Israel, without any debate, He's bringing them before God. That's what he's doing. In order to understand, God is going to carry them forward. God's heart is bringing, he's bringing them on his heart to God. God is going to go and do a wonderful thing. And before the ark, what do they know with the ark in the middle of the Jordan? Why are they to pay attention? Because the ark knows every single one of them before they ever cross the Jordan. God knows them. He carries them. He has them on his heart. He sees them, like in the high priest. So when they're going to go forward, they're going to go with God as they go forward in a most wonderful way. Now, and having said that and keeping that in mind, and they're going to go, and it's going to be a wonderful time. Chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, while you're still there, verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, the depths that spring out of valleys and hills. What did they have for 40 years? God hit rocks, and God made water come out of zillions of gallons for everybody. But that's not going to be anymore. You're not going to do that anymore, God. No, no, I'm not. You're going to go in the wilderness. No one knows you're there except God, and no one cares. I'm going to send you now to show my wonderful grace as you dispossess the enemy and possess your land and your lot for your life to demonstrate my God. God's a wonderful God. So in the process, you're going to go. As you're going to go, you're going to remember that God, but I'm not going to give you all that. I'm going to just make it normal. The Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Hivites, etc., they lived in the land that you're in. And they had houses, they had wells, they had water, they had lakes, they had ponds, they had rivers. They had all that. So you're going to be what? Just like them. You're going to live in the same, because are these Israelites different? Here they are in the wilderness. They're certainly different, because in the wilderness, their clothes didn't wear out. They never got sick. They never had anything wrong. Perfect. But they aren't going to be perfect now. They're going to be just like you. They're going to go. And the Canaanites, the Philistines are going to see them, and they're just like them. The difference is they're looking and trusting God as they possess the land, and they have all the benefits. And that's what God, chapter 8, verse 7, they're going to have. Verse 9, a land wherein shall eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, out of whose hills thou mayest take brass or bronze. You're able to do all kinds of things, just like they do. But hang on, chapter 8, and in verse 15, compare that to the wilderness, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, etc. It isn't going to be special, where I do everything, said God. You're going to have the normal life like everybody else has. The difference is going to be they can't say God is doing everything. No, they're going to enjoy getting sick, getting better, doing what they have to do, work, everything. They're going to have the same. The difference is you have a unique relationship to God. A most wonderful relationship to God. Now, having said that, back over to Joshua. And in Joshua in chapter 5, picking up, if I may, in the light of that, so the high priest and having everything and all of that, and it's very, very special. And we shared together, when we saw that, over in 1 Peter and in chapter 2, We did that last time, where Christ is the stone, a living stone, and God takes us and makes us in the stone, living stones. That's what we are. So we God moves it over to hell so we can understand. And if we did take that, do that just for the sake of moving your Bible over to 1 Peter and chapter 2. I didn't mean to go that. 1 Peter and chapter 2. And picking up, if I may, First Peter chapter 2, may I go, you'll see what I was mentioning in case you didn't, in chapter 2, in verse 4, verse 3, I should say, chapter 2, verse 3. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, rejected, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also are as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Sliding all the way over to verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar, prized, privileged treasure, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And God has done a wonderful thing. Like he did for Israel, he's now demonstrating for Israel, Romans 9, 10, 11. He's doing for Israel so that they might pay attention. Israel was supposed to have this privilege and enjoy it. God said, I'm going to show you what you're missing. And God is going to take us, whosoever's, and make us privileged. Privileged. We have the same sickness, we're just like everybody else. But we have God differently. We have God to get us through the thick and thin of it as we go forward. They don't, but they can't say that God is favoring us. No. You have everything. The difference is God is giving you a special, wonderful position, favor, if you would, giving you a position to enjoy his wonderful person as he outworks, think of this morning in Sunday school and that, outworks his will. That's what God's doing, going to outwork his will. Now, back over to Joshua, and in chapter 5. And in Joshua chapter 5, picking up, if I may, and you'll note, Joshua, they're in the land, they're there, and in the process, chapter 5, verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Jericho's a little distance from Gilgal, so you got to go a little walk, and here's Jericho, city of Jericho, and it's a high-walled city, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And 38 years ago, that's what they used as an excuse, not Joshua. The cities are high-walled, literally up to heaven. That's how they saw it. Wow, high wall. And as you remember that little term, high-walled, up to heaven, then you remember Jeremiah on Wednesdays, great and mighty. Chapter 33, verse 3, great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And the word mighty means inaccessible, incomprehensible. And it's used of these high-walled cities all the way up to heaven. That's how they saw them. It's impossible. But now it's possible. You're going to pay attention to the ark. Now Joshua's having to look and survey. What are we up against? Here's this big walled city, and here we are. We're the same people. We aren't chariots and everything. We don't have this stuff. And here's Jericho. Now to take that apart, I think it's worth it. Take it apart. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looking at Jericho. And as he looked, behold, all of a sudden there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? Now, I think it's worth taking it apart because I'd like to be right where he is and to get that from where we are. So therefore, it came to pass, chapter 13, when Joshua and Jericho lifted up his eyes, and behold, there stood a man. What man? What man? A man. Now, how do you see that? A man. How do you understand? A man. Let's see how it goes. Now, over to see it. You remember Abraham, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And Genesis chapter 17, I'll do that one anyway, as we start a little journey. Chapter 17. And you will note in chapter 17, picking up, please, in verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me in my presence, and be thou perfect, complete, with all your heart. That's how to do it. Complete, full, all of your heart. I'm going to give you all of myself, said God. I'm going to be in there. I'm going to take all of you, and you, Abraham, take all of me and all that I am. You're going to trust me with all your heart in a most wonderful way. And therefore, chapter 18, God's going to now help him. Now, having said that, here God's going to make it very special. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he set in the door, tent door, in the heat of the day. In other words, he was resting, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, verse 2, and lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself toward the ground. Now, in the three men, he's going to go without taking all the context in that. He's going to do what? God is going to come. God. Here's God and a couple of angels. He's there, the man. One of the men. The angels, the other two, they're going to disappear, as you know, chapter 18, verse 22. And what are you going to tell? A, about the birth of Sarah. He's going to tell that. But what else, God? There you are. You're going to talk to him. Chapter 18, verse 22. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. Remember, the two angels are going to go to Sodom. You know what's going to happen to Sodom. Those angels are going to go and visit Sodom. Boy, now, verse 22. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? In other words, here's God standing in front of him. And the two the men, he would see them, and they're heading over to Sodom, and the Lord's still standing there. That's right. The Lord's standing there. It's very special. That's what he's doing. And in the process, Abraham's talking to him. And Abraham wants to know, what about Sodom? Because he knows Sodom isn't doing very good. So, 24. Peradventure there be 50 within the city. Or wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? And at that, verse 25, that by far be from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, and Abraham says, should not the judge of all the earth do right? And he has his conversation with our Lord, and then our Lord disappears. He went through and goes all the way down, you know. He said, God, how much are you really going to be gracious? Sliding over to verse 32. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet this once, peradventure, peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it, but 10. If I can find 10 righteous people, I won't spare the city at this time. So God did that in a wonderful way, and Abraham was there. And Abraham was talking to him. That's what God did. That's special. Hang on. Over to chapter 32. And in chapter 32, and you'll remember Jacob. And Jacob was, you know, finally, and is ultimately meeting up with Esau in his exercise of all his years. And in the process, he's headed to Esau, heading to see Esau. And he has this great, everything. He's got his family, he's got his children, he's got all his animals, and he's concerned. And he knows Esau was out to kill him. So, and he knows he's going to have to meet Esau. So he sends, chapter 32 and verse 22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. Now that little brook. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. In other words, he's putting everything in front of him. Here's all the sheep, and here's the camels, and here's the goats, and here's everything there. And then behind them, I'm going to send my wives, my servants. I'm going to send all my family. I'm going to send them there. And so Esau sees that Jacob's giving everything. And Jacob was such a rascal anyway. Now, picking up, verse 24. And Jacob said, good, they're all on the other side. Esau will be so inundated with everything I'm giving him, so much, he won't care that I'm not there. And Jacob says, everyone go. And Jacob said, I'm going the other direction. I'm going away, so Esau can't find me. I'm going to retreat. And understand that you have to do that. He's going to sneak away. And verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now here's a man again. Now, this man is God. Abraham, here's God. Here's the man. And he wanted to know, you're the judge of all the earth. Don't you want to do right? That's what Abraham said. Now here's Jacob trying to escape. And here's our Lord. And our Lord goes, and you have to imagine this. Our Lord goes and Jacob says, get out of my way. I'm going. And the Lord says, no, you can't go. So Jacob tried his different holds on him, tried to get God to move out of the way. Get out of my way. You can just see that, can't you? He's going to get out of my way. He wrestled. God wouldn't let him go. God wouldn't let him go. And he wrestled, and he didn't win. Now God could have clipped him and got rid of all of it quickly. Wasn't God's way. God wanted him to fight God and to fight God. And no, you can't win with God. you aren't going to win. Jacob, you need to do what you're supposed to do. And God stood in the way and told Jacob wrestled with him. And in the process, he wrestled all night. Jacob would say, let's just quit. This is a long night wrestling. No, no. And God said, but God said it's a long night. God said it's a long night. So he whacked him and broke his rib, whatever. Broke his leg, whatever. Let me pick it up. In verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with the man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, verse 25, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. So he's a cripple. Jacob could run. He isn't going to run anywhere anymore. Jacob, God gripped his hip, put him out of business. He isn't going to run. Not going to run anywhere. No, you're not. Jacob, point. He's just a man. God doing something special to show that God does things special. Now, so therefore, in the process, chapter 26, verse 26, And he said, God said, let me go, for the day break. In other words, he cut his hip out of joint, etc. And Jacob said, I'm not letting you go. I'm a cripple. So he held on to the Lord, held on to him. This time he's holding, not wrestling. He's holding him and holding him because he just put him out of business with his thigh. Now, and in the process, verse 26, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Ah, that's what God was waiting for. God was waiting for Jacob to say, I quit, and I can't do it alone. I can't handle this. God gripped him so he couldn't run. And in the process, Jacob held on, and God said, let me go. And no, you have to bless me, God. That's what he's waiting for. Waiting for God. And the man, the pre-incarnate Christ. Verse 27, he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. As a prince hath power with God and with men, thou hast prevailed. I'm going to bless you. Verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? You want to know who I am? Well, who are you? And he blessed him. He blessed Jacob there. And Jacob didn't answer. He never told him who he was. And verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. God, you did that. Uh-huh. God, you did it for Abraham. You did it for Jacob. Wow, that's what you did in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And you did it. And so as you keep reading, you're going to read, sliding over again, just to stop on the way, over to Judges. And in Judges chapter 13, picking up, if I may. In Judges chapter 13, here's Samson's mother and father, they're looking to have a child, etc. In chapter 13, Judges, verse 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. So here comes the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, as a man, as it were, you could see him. And to the woman, and to the woman. And she, you're going to have a child, etc. Now, and so what's the husband say? Because the woman goes and tells her husband, we're going to have, God is going to bless us. And verse 6, and then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. So therefore, now, so there, that, so the husband's listening. Verse 7, but he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine, nor strong drink. He's going to be a Nazarite, and neither any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. He's going to be separated from God. He's going to belong to God, Samson is. Now, and so Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God, which thou didst send to come again unto me, unto us, and teach us that we what we should do, and unto the child we shall be born. Tell us what to do. So therefore, sliding over if I can, to verse 17. And here they are, and they're going to go, and they make an offering to God. Verse 17. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, what is thy name? And but that when thy saying come to pass, we may with do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret, wonderful, incomprehensible? Think of God doeth wondrous things. Things we know, that's the word, wonder, beyond. Jeremiah, remember, said, there's nothing, chapter 32, there's nothing too hard for you, God, to fix what's happening. And then God responded, sliding down the end, and God said, repeated what he said, and there's nothing too hard, wonderful for me to do. I can do whatever has to be done in a most extraordinary, wonderful, ordinary way. Ordinary to God, extraordinary to us. Now, having said that, verse 19. So Manoah took a kid of meat offering again, like Abraham, upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked. And it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on, and fell on their faces to the ground, understandably. Verse 21. Though the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife, then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Verse 22. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God, the angel of the Lord. Just a man, just an angel. But what an angel. Wow, hang on. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and so that's Samson. Go over with me now, over to the Gospel of John. And in John, and chapter 19. On our way to 19, stop at chapter 10 for a moment. John, and chapter 10. And remember the Jewish people. Here comes the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea. A man. That's what he is, just a man. He has a father. He has a step, they don't understand, Joseph, stepfather, and didn't understand. His family, they lived in Nazareth. I mean, what do they know? He's just an ordinary man. And to see that, hang on, so I say it, over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 11. The Jews then, 6:41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Remember the manna. Verse 42. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he saith, I came down from heaven? And thus, verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat, etc.? Over now to, having said that, chapter 10, again, the Jews, they don't believe God can be a man. Verse 33, and the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. What did I do? Because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. So you're a man. Yeah, you're a man. And we reject men. But God, you show in a very special way, at given times, you show yourself as the angel of the Lord, a man. That's what you did. Who's standing in front of Joshua? Who do you see, Joshua? A man. Man, an ordinary man? Maybe. I see a man. That's what I see. Now, hang on to that. John chapter 19. Then in John chapter 19, you recall, if I can, in verse 14, remember, we did all this in the process, in the crucifixion and that. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king, the man? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. We don't have a king. We don't have, he's just a man. He's just a man. Ah, now, but you didn't see the man rightly, did you? You didn't see him. Abraham saw him, and Jacob saw him, and Manoah and his wife saw him. They saw him. Ah, he passed by. And you remember without going there, and God tells us, and tells us, and you don't know that when you were there, an angel was there, and you knew it not. You knew it not. And I remember the incident Jeanette and them had. It's a pretty astounding thing. And the man helping them in New York, and they were lost in the system. And the man was one floor. And then he told them where to go to get the right transportation. He told them where to go, and they went down. And there he was standing in front of them, pointing to where to go. Now, how you'd answer that? How do you answer that? Wow. Yeah, you never know. But he's just a man. Ah, you don't know. Now, so therefore, over to Luke, and Luke chapter 19. And in Luke chapter 19, picking up, please, if I may, in chapter 19, verse 13. And he called his 10 servants, God giving an illustration about for Israel to learn, and delivered them 10 pounds, so each one had a pound, and said unto them, occupy till I come. In other words, I give you an opportunity, use it, and believe and trust me. Verse 14, but his citizens hated him, And he sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Not that man. Not that man. No, we don't want that man. Not want that man. Hang on. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, we don't want that man. And you remember, without turning there, if you did, in Ezekiel and in chapter 1, and up in the, Ezekiel's wonderful vision of the everything moving in God's dynamic, there's nothing standing still. Even here we are in this room like this, and everything seems still. And actually it isn't. Everything's moving. We don't see it. We don't understand it. It's all active, wonderfully, wonderfully active. Now, and what do you see? Ezekiel, God, what did you do to help Ezekiel? Seeing the temple's going to be burnt and Nebuchadnezzar's going to level the city. What do you need to see, Ezekiel? And then in the midst of all of that activity up there, sitting on a throne, was a man in charge of it. And without turning, it's a wonderful section. Now, the man sitting on the throne. The man. But he's just a man. No. He was born in Bethlehem, Judea, to be the Savior. To be the Savior so that you could know him as God. He would save you so you could know him as God. Therefore, over, if I can, to Hebrews. And chapter 2. And in Hebrews in chapter 2, tying it together. Hebrews 2, you remember from our study of Hebrews, etc. Chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, the fear of death. And God, so what did he do? He put on a human flesh born in Bethlehem of Judea. The man, the man. They reached out, we not have this man to reign over us. No way. No way. Okay. So what about this man? Acts chapter 17. As you would know. Acts chapter 17. This man. And you'll read, if I can. Remember to the people in Athens. And here's the message they got to the wonder, to know God in a most wonderful way. And if you don't want to know him, know this. Know this. Verse 30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. In other words, the time, the clock has moved forward, things are going to happen. Verse 31. What's going to happen? Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by what? That man. By that man. By that man. Amen. Whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given us assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. That man. That man. Joshua, you don't know who's in front of you. No, but you're going to find out. You're going to find out. The man. Now we know the man. We know what Joshua didn't know. The man who is going to be the judge of the world. He didn't know that. He didn't know it. We do. So when I read the judges, that man pulls out his sword. That's a whole other realm, isn't it? Another piece. The man. Now, over I can, in closing, over to Ephesians. Ephesians in chapter 1. And you'd allow me. Now God, here's the man. The resurrection. He's the resurrected Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And without taking time, well, I'll do it fast. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness, 1 and 19, of his power to usward, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him, our living Lord and Savior, to be the head over all things to the church. Now, God, what do we know about the man? He's the head, the man, a wonderful relationship to God as the head. And verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Where am I going to see the man? He's the head of my life. You received him as your Savior. That's what you did. You received the man, risen, seated at the right hand of God, and God gave you a unique relationship to the man. The man Christ Jesus, the one who he's going to judge, Revelation 20, the world. That man, you are his body. You're part of that man. So when Joshua, behold the man, and here we are, and we know the man. We know the man in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And in the chapter and process, and you remember, in chapter three, you keep in mind, if you can, what are we going to do? We'll do the two things very fast. Ready? Revelation chapter 3. Put it together. It's a wonderful relationship. Revelation chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 21, the end of the church of Laodicea. Verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with him in my Father's throne. A unique personal relationship in the same place. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. That's where we are. And the incentive for us, wrote John chapter 14, John chapter 14, picking up, please, in verse 3, 14 and 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come, chapter 14, verse 3, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Why? That where I am, there you may be also. Chapter 17, when he ends, that's the end. We're going to end now. How do you end? Chapter 17, you remember. Put it together. Chapter 17, picking up, please, in verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Why? That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me more, lovest me before the foundation of the world. I want them to be where I am. That's what I want them to be. The man. Joshua, the man. Who is that man? Are you for us or against us? The man. We know the man. We house the man. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we enjoy His presence. We are at the same moment, seated already, positioned, seated at the right hand of God. To what? As His body, the man who's going to judge the world. And we are His body. We belong to Him in a unique way. The Lord of the earth, the Lord of hosts, He's our Savior. And we're going to be what? The world's going to look at the man. And when they look at the man, they'll find you. They'll find you with the man. Wow. Well,